Welcome to Beltway Talk, the podcast of the American International Automobile Dealers Association, where we'll examine the intersection of politics and the auto retail industry. I'm your host, Hannah Oliver. Today's podcast is brought to you by AIADA affinity partner CNA National, the industry's most highly awarded service contract provider. Find out more at AIADA.org. Joining us today for our first podcast is Cody Lusk, who is the president and CEO of AIADA. It's been an eventful spring here in Washington for auto dealers. I think Cody would agree, and he's here to update us on recent events and what AIADA is doing on behalf of dealers. Thanks for being here with us, Cody.
Hey, it's great to be here. It's great to finally launch Beltway Talk, Anna.
Let's first talk about your work with AIADA. Can you explain a little bit for listeners about your role with the organization?
Right. As president and CEO, I serve as the principal advocate for the association. It's 10,000 American-owned franchises of international nameplate autos. There are 500,000 employees. We represent these members and their employees before all facets of the federal government, the public, the media. I serve as the principal spokesperson. But I also run the day-to-day operations at the guidance of a very diverse, very dynamic board of directors. So it's a lot of fun.
Since you said it was fun, can you tell us a little bit about what you like most about your job?
Well, I think the most things, we have a very lean, very efficient staff here, as you know, but it's also a lot like a congressional office where I came from before with this job. Everybody's got a lot of responsibility. A lot of people, have a lot to do, but we make it fun. No 2 days seem to be alike. There's, various departments, but when there's something happening, and whether it be on the government relations side or the public relations side, what I think is the most enjoyable and most fun for me is to see everybody always willing to pitch in and do what needs to get done. We saw this last year when we were facing the border adjustment tax, and it was all hands on deck for whatever we needed to do, whatever we needed to get out to the dealer members. And everybody saw that, and that's what our mission is, to help serve our dealer members.
I know you talked a little bit about the border adjustment tax and how dealers really stepped up at that point. Can you share just a little bit about why you think it's really important for dealers to be involved in AIADA specifically?
Well, I think there's no question that, a lot of people have been turned off by politics recently. It seems that everywhere you go, from, late night TV to cable news to the radio, everybody is sort of politicizing every little thing in our lives. And I think there's a bit of our members, and me included, who get fed up with that. And so we try to separate just the politics out of it as to what we represent and what we bring to the table for our dealer members. And the dealers have to understand, as they realize in their businesses, that autos and auto dealerships are amongst the most highly regulated industries in the country. And that for that reason, they have to be engaged on behalf of their businesses, on behalf of their dealer, on behalf of their employees, to make sure that this is going to be a viable entity into the future. And so, as the old adage goes, if you're not at the table, you might be on the menu. That cuts across all lines, whether it be at the state level, the local level, the federal level. So we teach, we have a very active grassroots program, the Legislative Action Network. We encourage dealers. One of the most popular things we do, and one of the most helpful for the industry, is dealers bring their legislators to their dealerships. And that really gives the member of Congress is not as pressed on time as they are here in D.C. The dealer has a chance to really walk them around these beautiful facilities that they have, show these world-class products, the technology that exists, what technicians are doing now, how complex the cars are, really how the software is working in their dealerships, all the various functions that happen. And I think it's a real eye-opener for members of Congress to see, one, how many employees are there, how much investment, how much taxes are paid. And that's a real win-win for everybody, because they see what a pillar of the community that these dealerships bring to their local communities.
Shifting gears just a bit to the podcast, since it is our inaugural podcast, can you share a little bit about what inspired the name Beltway Talk?
Well, I think when we were sort of kicking around ideas, we wanted to sort of talk about what makes us unique, what would be something that we could provide that isn't out there, that isn't being done by any other associations, either in our space or anyplace else. And so we wanted to really focus on, you know, the Beltway is what, inside the Beltway is what happens here really with the legislative and regulatory administrative parts of the government. And we wanted to highlight the intersection of what happens inside the Beltway with autos. And that became how we got the name Beltway Talk. Also, I would say that my crack PR staff wanted to call it Swamp Talk, but I had to talk them out of that. So we ended up with Beltway Talk.
Probably a good choice. With that in mind, let's go ahead and turn to what's happening inside the Beltway. What do you see as the key issues inside the Beltway impacting dealers this spring?
Well, first and foremost, we've had the ongoing NAFTA negotiations, which have been sort of up, down, sideways, around. We're getting really to the final days. The negotiations are intensifying, and there's some proposals out there that could not, you know, could be detrimental to the auto side. The auto sector, in particular, could increase prices for American consumers. We're working hard to sort of refocus some of those efforts. We think NAFTA has been working for the U.S. as a whole. It needs to be changed. It needs to be modernized. We want to work with the president and his team to get the best deal possible for our industry.
Thanks, Cody, for that NAFTA recap. Let's take a step back and look at the trade issue this spring and what's happening in Washington. Can you give us a quick recap and tell us why dealers should care about the issue?
Well, I think there's we're all struggling to sort of separate where the president really is when it comes to trade policy, because, you know, his negotiating tactics and the skills that he's employed as a successful business person over the years was sort of to come in with the hammer first and whack people and then sort of come out and negotiate from there. And we've seen that with some rhetoric. He's threatened higher tariffs on you know, European imported vehicles. He's whacked Japan. He's whacked Korea on this topic. We renegotiated the South Korea free trade agreement. And so we're all trying to figure out, you know, where's the reality and where are we going? Where does he really stand? Where's the reality? How do we get there? But I think, you know, from our perspective, we always have to be prepared to act regardless of what might happen and give the facts, present the facts, talk about the realities of how much is being built here. You know, there was we were talking about China and its auto tariffs. Well, really, the only people that are selling to China from the U.S. are the international brands that export from their plants here to the U.S. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't negotiate those down, but no Detroit guys are really exporting to China. Tesla is, but that's really the only U.S.-based automaker. So there's a lot of facts that we try to separate out and try to make sure the administration has all the facts before they act.
So I guess it's safe to say that trade is not going away anytime soon, and that probably there's going to be plenty more action in the coming months.
No, I think you're seeing that the president has real feelings and really sort of set in his ways about he thinks we've had a flawed trade policy over the years. He thinks that our negotiators, in his words, were terrible, gave up too much, and he wants to sort of right what he sees are the wrongs. And that's, you know, that's what he campaigned on, and that's we're dealing with that. But we're just also trying to point out that what is actually how trade has been good in the auto sector, the competition it's brought in, how it's provided jobs, the manufacturing facilities that are here, the employees we have, and we think it's been a win-win. And we just are trying to tell that story, and we need dealers to help us tell that story.
Thanks for that. Let's talk for just a few minutes about the big win dealers had earlier this spring when Congress recently voted to repeal the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's auto lending guidance. Can you give dealers just a little bit of context for this vote in Congress? Can you maybe first explain how we got to this vote and what is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau?
Well, as we've seen over the years, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was the brainchild of Elizabeth Warren, and it was created as a result of the banking legislation, Dodd-Frank, and it came about, and it really was an unaccountable bureaucracy, and the head of the CFPB was the most powerful person in the federal government. It answered to no one. It got their funding from the Fed, so it had no accountability to Congress, no accountability to anyone. And we saw right off the bat, they were upset that dealers were exempt from the CFPB because of legislation that was passed. Really, the CFPB should have been designed to target what went wrong with Wall Street and the banks and the financial crisis of 2008. But what they did was they accused dealers and other lenders of discrimination against certain classes. But the problem though is the methodology that they used was completely flawed. And we met with them numerous times, took in experts to say, listen, we're very concerned if this was a practice that was going on, but your methodology, which just uses last name and zip code, is completely flawed. And we saw that they just really could not care less. They really sort of just showed us the door and really kind of just kept going down this path. And they offered their guidance out there that said that, in fact, there was discrimination. And it really, the auto dealers, a lot of lenders paid a heavy price. We tried to work with them, and it just didn't happen. And so now with the Congress in, we used a mechanism called the Congressional Review Act, which allows Congress to look at regulations that have passed and deem whether they were just, whether they were applied correctly. Looked at all the facts. They determined that they did not, and this was an unjust ruling that came out. They had no public comment. They just submitted this guidance out there. So we got really with the help of our friends at NADA who led the effort on this, we got the House and Senate to pass a resolution that would nullify and rescind this guidance. And that's been sent to the president for his signature. So it's a great win for dealers, the industry, most importantly, a great win for consumers.
Absolutely. What do you think this victory means for dealer advocates? Do you think it should spur them forward in realizing that their efforts really truly do make a difference with their legislators?
Yeah, I think, you know, we hear so much bad that comes out of Washington. It is nice to see that occasionally some good stuff happens, and it may take a while. As I tell people, it takes really a long time for good legislation to get through, but it takes a nanosecond for something bad to come along. So I think with all the negativity you hear about Washington, you do see the positives of what happens when you just deal with the facts. And the facts were that this was wrongheaded, misguided, and they understood that and acted accordingly.
Thanks for that recap of that big win for dealers. Let's just look forward to the coming months of the summer real quick before we wrap up. What do you see ahead for dealers in the next few months?
Well, obviously, we're trying to wrap up the NAFTA negotiations, which are on a pretty tight timeline. Hopefully, those will conclude in late May at some point. There's a May 17th timeline. But then that still also starts a clock. But when they have to submit the language, there's still a lot of opportunity to see what goes on and what's actually in this proposed agreement. Because a lot of times this stuff all collapses into place and they agree in principle, but it's hard to get what the actual wording is. And a lot of the technicalities, the devil's in the details, so to speak. So we'll be working all summer with trying to find out and make sure that any agreement that we would support or ask Congress to support would not be to the detriment of the dealers and would have a positive impact on American consumers.
So I guess it's safe to say it'll be an eventful summer. Thanks for your insight today, Cody. It's been great having you with us on our inaugural podcast.
It's great, Hannah. Hopefully this is the first of many successful podcasts to come.
I think so. We really do have a lot of great content to share with our listeners, and we're looking forward to what's ahead. Stay tuned for the next episode of Beltway Talk.